Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Kara Olson, Chief People Officer for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F, in Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit ellenbecker.com for more detail. I have the absolute pleasure of having Sarah Reed as my guest today. Sarah is the founder and CEO of Moonstone Coaching and Consulting, where she provides meaningful coaching and career navigation using real-world insights and practical advice. Welcome to the show, Sarah. I cannot tell you how happy I am that you are here with me today. We've known each other. We were just reminiscing too long in 25 years. So I'm so happy that you're here. Because we've been in the industry and in HR for a long time, I think we've both seen significant changes in recruiting and how job seekers truly find the role of their dreams. And that's why I'm just so happy that you're here to really help us do some straight talking and figure out how we gain a better understanding of the trends and truths and some of those tough moments that happen when you're searching for a job that we sometimes don't talk about. So as we get started, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, you know, kind of how you got started in this area of expertise.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Kara, and I appreciate having me here. It's always fun to do this. So I started when I was 17 years old, and I promise this isn't going to go on for the whole segment, but I was right out of high school getting ready to go off to school, and I needed a temp job for the summer, and happened to interview the owner of a local staffing agency, and she must have liked me because she asked if I wanted to work in their offices. So I got a chance to do that at a really young age, and I was a psychology major when I went to school in Madison, and was an interesting kind of bend on being able to use psychology. So I got to learn about recruiting and staffing and HR and things that I never really thought about. So I did that, but my goal was to be a therapist, and that didn't pan out for a number of different reasons because academics is not for me. And
you got to know that, right?
Yeah. And I tend to be a more action-oriented person, and therapy is really, really important. I've been through it myself, but it tends to be a more backward-looking sort of process, right? Especially at that point in time, this was, I don't want to remember how long ago it was, but it was a while ago, before positive psychology was on the scene and before even coaching was a thing. So decided not to do that, got sucked back into staffing because that's what that world does, and went to Baird, actually, on a consulting gig because they were my biggest client. And after 14 years, I decided to go out on my own. And now I help people from the other side of the desk navigate their career, go through the tactical and the emotional roller coaster of all that.
That's incredible. What a journey and what a combination that you've been able to put together from all those experiences, right? Yeah. So thank you. And that's exciting. 14 years that you've been out on your own, really helping people navigate all sorts of things. Like you said, not just the job seeker, but the whole career transition in life.
Yeah.
You know, well, how you bring
really
it together.
You have to look at the whole human because the job search process is incredibly emotional and challenging and triggering and So many things we'll get to later.
I can't wait, right, getting into it all. But with that, I thought we could start with just looking at some of that history,
sure.
You know, and it doesn't look anything like it did 20 years ago. You know, we joked a little bit about that. But what changes have you seen for job seekers over even the last few years?
Yeah. I came from when fax machines still spit out roller paper and resumes you had to cut and put under a phone book when phone books still existed. So that was my start in recruiting. Mm-hmm. Like, we just had a couple computers in the office, right? So a lot of it was very manual and people still walked in a door. So, now you fast forward in the last couple of years, AI has been a big influence on so many things, including recruiting. And, it's ever changing, and who knows where it will end. But it definitely influences things in this process and in how you go about it and how companies look at people and things like that. So that would probably be the biggest change, especially in the last few years, I've seen.
Right. For sure. For sure. And I can't wait. I know when we'll be diving into some of the AI things in a little bit. But what has kind of surprised you the most about what has changed in recruiting and job seeking?
Okay. If I'm being honest, it's gotten harder.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everyone would think because of technology, it's gotten easier. In certain ways, on the HR side or recruiting side of things, from screening people, there's some things that have definitely made it more efficient, but it's then in the same time made it more complicated.
Sure.
Right? And for the job seeker, when you could knock on a door and hand a resume to someone or send it in the mail, right? Or even like what now feels like old school, send an email with your resume attached, right? Mm-hmm. So it is phenomenally harder, quite frankly. It's more complicated. It's more tedious because it's so easy to ask for information. Then sometimes a lot of employers ask for a lot of information that job seekers are like, why do I need to tell them this now? I don't even know if I want this job.
Sure.
Right. So there's a fine line in gathering that information just from the HR side, because you can turn off candidates that way. If I had to sum it up, it's just made it harder.
Right. You know, I think that's a really good point of just the times that you're collecting information, or, you know, a candidate's just looking to maybe explore, and yet now I find myself in it, and that may or may not feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I think it's also just the pace of the change, right? You know, even if someone, hey, I'm maybe looking to do something different 5 years ago, it looks very different, right? And we'll spend a little bit of time about where do you start, you know, at that point. What about for you personally? I'm curious, just around maybe a turning point or a pivotal moment in your career that you have found.
That's a good question. I think that for me, it was probably my time at Baird, right? So I spent 14 years there and I loved it. It was a great organization. I worked with delightful humans.
Yes.
And really enjoyed the industry. You know, I was a psych major. I was not in finance, but it was really interesting to me. Right. So now you fast forward, I get to work with all sorts of companies and all sorts of organizations. Right. Like, and it taught me so much. But the thing that really was kind of the turning point was when I realized I was unhappy, actually. I know it sounds weird, but like Sunday nights rolled around and I was grouchy with my daughter and I was grouchy with my husband. And I was working at a really good environment, right? Like, kind of like you have here, you have a really good environment. But for me, the problem was, loved the environment, loved the people, but the job was not the right fit for me anymore.
Sure.
Right? I spent all my day in meetings. And right, like with hardly a break in sight. And I never really felt, even though I was doing bigger picture things, I never felt like I was helping people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because I like that one-on-one connection and seeing the shift in someone. And that went away the farther I got up the ladder. So that was probably, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm done now. Like from climbing this so-called ladder, right? And I want to do something different that gets back to something more that like I did when I was 17 years old.
Right, right. Isn't that interesting though, to stop and really think about, what am I passionate about? Where do I get my energy from? Where am I want to get the Sunday scaries, right? You know, and that's a real thing, or can be a real thing. And so recognizing that, okay, what is it that's going on? And taking the time and the investment to stop and explore what are all my options? And I think that's an interesting piece to think about, too, of what are my strengths and what do I get really excited about and energized for? And yeah. is my job aligning, right, to that role? And if not, how do I find that mm-hmm. passion and strength and right to move forward? Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that
Absolutely.
For sure. When we return, Sarah will take us on a little tour of today's job market, the trends, what employers are looking for, and how to use AI to land that dream job. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Kara Olson, Chief People Officer for Ellen Becker Investment Group. My guest today is Sarah Reed, founder and CEO of Moonstone Coaching and Consulting, where she provides meaningful coaching and career navigation using real-world insights and practical advice. Sarah, again, I'm so happy that you're here. We've had the chance to work together in our career, and so it's just so much fun to hear about the things that you've been doing and sharing your insights and your advice on the recruiting world right now and job seekers, which has changed so drastically. And so thought we'd take a little bit of a tour of Sure. today's job market and thinking about really sharing some of the trends, the biggest trends that job seekers kind of should be aware of right now. What would those be?
It is going back to where we started. AI, it's changing faster than you can keep up with, right? Mm-hmm. Like I just had a client the other day say that they had to do an interview with AI generated content. I don't know. I've even seen it, quite frankly,
sure.
right? But I can imagine what it looks like mm-hmm. based off of previous video interviews and things that have been done, right? That like, and I don't know, tomorrow it might be something different, which mm-hmm. is really challenging, right? When, especially if you have not been in the job market for a really long time,
right?
It's a scary enough thing as is, let alone you layer on all this technology that's gotten more and more complicated, that's probably the biggest thing. It's that AI piece. But the funny thing is I was talking to another client and they had a friend who was also looking for a job, and he took a paper resume old school and mm-hmm. dropped it off, and they actually talked to him.
I love it.
Right? It's like full circle,
school,
right?
Yes.
Because everything that gets noisy, you're trying to get through the noise.
Cut through it. How do
right?
you be different?
And anything electronic now is all noise, right?
Right.
So it's just fascinating to see that the dichotomy of all of that. And I feel for job seekers because I've done this for a living and I've watched it and it blows my mind. So I can't imagine folks coming in and trying to navigate it on their own. Yeah.
Right. I just remember even when you said that, you know, the video interviewing, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Think about what a big deal that was when that happened. Mm-hmm. Now there are AI, mm-hmm. right, interviews that take place mm-hmm. and how you can ensure.
And
that,
before they talk to a human.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
they don't even know who
nope.
I really am yet, right?
Nope.
And so, yeah, and it's how, and I'm sure you find that with your clients of how, well, how do I prepare for an interview like that, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
it's very, very different. So I'm curious, right? You know, if I'm a job seeker and I'm thinking about making a change, or maybe I'm even new to the job market, I've just graduated,
sure.
right? You know, where do I start?
You know, it's funny, whether you are 50 or 20, it's actually in a similar place. And it goes back to what you talked about. And it's one of the reasons I started what I started, right? This coaching business a long time ago, because I would see this trend of someone would look great on paper. They'd mm-hmm. sound really good in an interview, but my little spidey sense would go, do you want this job? Right? Like, do you know what you want? And I would see that pattern
sure.
over the, you know, 20 plus years I interviewed people. And I was like, that's really important. If you don't know that, you have a much higher probability of not ending up in the right spot, right?
Sure.
Which for me on the other side of the desk, I'm like, I don't want to hire you then if you don't haven't figured that out. So that's really what it goes back to. It goes back to the foundational pieces that when you're in your 50s, you forget. And when you're in your 20s, you're like, I'm not quite sure, right?
Right.
So it's really about what is important to you. And I don't mean in a job, solely, right? It is about what do I want for my life? What are the hours like? What does that mean, right? I know I'd like this job, but does it allow for the life I want to live outside of this job, right? And especially the younger generations, right, in your 20s,
right?
That's even more crucial, right? I remember when the millennials came on the scene and I'd have managers saying, oh my God, do they not care about working?
Right.
Right. And I was thinking, I'm like, we could all take some lessons from them.
Right.
About balance and understanding what's important in our lives and how we manage that. So,
right.
So that hopefully that answers your
question. No, it does. And, you know, it's interesting when you said that, I think about just even some of the candidates that I talked to, too. We talk a lot about commute, for example. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, great example.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And mm-hmm. that, you know, that's time and that's really important. And, you know, having that be part of that expectation of, hey, I need to know how much am I willing to have my time be driving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is one of those things. I remember you also telling me, you know, some of the stories in the past about, you know, somebody who's maybe gone for a certain education, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize what the hours might really look
mm-hmm.
like and then say, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. When you work with clients, then how do you help them determine, right? When they get kind of stuck, are there assessments that you get, questionnaires?
I'm a believer in keeping things simple,
mm-hmm.
right? So it really goes down to what I use. I have yet to find something fancy, right? Like a fancy assessment as we might have used when we were in
sure.
HR to really get at this. So I use simple things like values exercises, likes and dislikes, and then that serves as the conversation and the reminder to my client, oh, yeah, this is really important to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot about this, or I didn't take this into account that I don't really want to work for a big company, and that's part of my unhappiness, right? So it serves a couple different purposes. It reminds them what's out of alignment between them and their organization, right? It's oftentimes from a values perspective, but it also helps educate and helps them remember, oh, yeah, I am good at this, right?
Sure.
Because a lot of people that come to me are pretty burnt out and they're unhappy. And that's not a great way to go into an interview. You and I both know that,
absolutely.
Right? They're not going to show up
right.
in the best possible light.
Mm-hmm.
So I find in doing the work this way, starting to look at those things, it helps.
Right.
Right. It helps them remind them of who they are, whether they are 20 or 50, quite frankly, it works for both. Right.
Right.
I have had clients of mine send their kids my way, right? And I start working with them at a really young age because there's a gap related to that in the education system. That's a whole nother topic.
Right, right.
But yeah, so it really is going back to those foundational pieces. So it's going through that values and what works, what doesn't. And then, you know, I mentioned before, it feeds in then to the tactical side, right? So the things you realize are your values or are important to you, it gives you good talking points for an interview or a networking situation. It gives you good information for a LinkedIn profile or what goes on your resume, right? It all feeds together. But if you don't do that foundational work, you end up being a little bit like, want, right?
Right. Those I was going to say your authentic
fans,
self.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just a bunch of skills on a piece of paper, right? As opposed to a human. And that's one of the harder things to do
mm-hmm.
with the way the world is right now, to be able to help people understand you as the human.
Right.
Because
right.
ironically, that's usually what people want to hire. But yet our process mm-hmm. doesn't really give light to that.
Right. So, right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's super insightful to say, where do you start, which is really at you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You got it. And it's so foundational. It's so, you know, aha, of course. Right. Kara, you start with you.
Again, simple.
But it's real simple mm-hmm. to say mm-hmm. that's where it starts, let alone all the tools or the way in which you find. But you got to know what you're looking mm-hmm. for first. So that's mm-hmm. really good advice of where you kind of start. I was kind of smiling over here thinking about, you know, it kind of goes back to the really good pros and cons list. Right. You know,
stupid
when you
simple.
Make a decision mm-hmm. and how important that is to just know, hey, what am I really looking for and mm-hmm. what's important to me? The pros and cons list are really helpful along with, you know, like you said, some of the values kinds of things. So we've talked a little bit about AI off and on. So I think about AI and, you know, like, what do I need to be aware of? What in ways can I use it to help me in my job search and kind of ultimately land, you know, that dream job?
So it's an excellent question. And, you know, I'm going to give you the answer as of today,
mm-hmm.
which might be different tomorrow.
Sure.
So I'm a proponent, a huge proponent of using it for research. mm-hmm. right? Like, tell me all the companies in a 20-mile radius, what back to that commute, however far I'm looking to go.
Right.
What are, you know, services-based organizations that I can look at that have parameters, right? Using it for research. Now, again, you have to look at all that with a grain of salt because you don't know if it's perfect, but at least it gives you a starting point instead of a blank page.
Right.
Because 99% of people will just go to job boards, and that's exactly what you don't want to do, mm-hmm. especially in the beginning if you haven't evaluated what do I want, all those things, because then you will look at a job description and say, I can do that, I can do that. Well, do you want to?
Sure.
Does it fit any parameter you want? Do you know what you want? Again, going back to that, right? So I like using AI for that research piece. I want to caution people that I've heard, I don't live in that space anymore, but have heard and talked to contacts that, you know, they check now if it's an AI generated cover letter or an AI generated resume.
Absolutely.
Right? So you want to use it as research, I believe, or, hey, how could I phrase this or what am I missing, right? Just for data that you then use it for your own writing, right?
Right.
So it's a complement. It should not be used as a replacement.
Sure.
Hopefully that helps.
That really helps. I think that's, you know, the things that we've always heard, right? It's the complement, it's the research, mm-hmm. It still has to be your voice. And I think it's how you navigate that with how do you just get through to even get a response, right? And it's that, how do I find those keywords or pieces in there so it does pick me up mm-hmm. if that's really what mm-hmm. I want? And that's, I'm sure, again, how many versions of my resume do I need, right? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. along those yeah. lines too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Stay tuned, as after a short break, Sarah will help us understand the emotional side of job searching, not only for the one searching, but also for their family and friends. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Kara Olson, Chief People Officer for Ellen Becker Investment Group. My guest today is Sarah Reed, founder and CEO of Moonstone Coaching and Consulting, where she provides meaningful coaching and career navigation using real-world insights and practical advice. I'm excited to turn and talk a little bit more about the emotional side of job hunting. It's not only about this whole resume building and applying and interviewing, but it's kind of personal. Right? You know, it starts to feel that way. And rejection can be part of this process. When I apply to many jobs and I get no response or I get a lot of no's, that can start to feel like a lot of rejection for people. So how does this show up in job seekers?
Yeah, I always say that it's the toughest part of the job search process, right? And no one thinks about it until
right.
they're in the middle of it, mm-hmm. right? And it is such an emotional roller coaster for so many reasons, right? Because oftentimes people are in a job they don't like. And mm-hmm. so they have to figure out how to pull themselves up and show up in a really good light and say good things about a company that may not be treating them well, right? But, you know, it's a fine line. So that in itself takes a ton of energy. And then the actual finding of the job takes a ton of energy, right? And mm-hmm. is confusing. And really, you want to be using multiple strategies, but people get sucked into the job boards and then that just depresses them more.
Right.
And the constant no's, like you said. And then you layer on that your family wants to support you. But I was literally just having a conversation with one of my clients this morning. And she's like, my husband really wants to support me, but I was trying to explain what we talked about last time. And it was really helpful, but I don't know how to put it into words. Mm-hmm. And that's because we were working through what's emotionally getting in the way.
Sure.
Right? Like what's preventing her from figuring out what she wants to do next mm-hmm. and making her feel so stuck.
Sure.
Right? And to an analytical person, like maybe her husband, right? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
He just wanted to understand, right? But he was trying to support, but then it puts pressure on the
sure.
job seeker, right?
Sure.
So it's a really hard balance, right? And it's incredibly time consuming, right? And you already have a full-time job and you probably have a family. Like the juggling that has to go into something that you are really not educated in how to do it. I have seen the brightest people not get it. And,
right.
and what I mean by that is like, I'm like, you are project manager, for example, right? You know how to run a project. This is a project.
Oh, that's a great right? analogy.
They can't take their skill set, right, which they do every day probably really well. This is a project.
Right.
What would you recommend to the people you are supporting, right, or the project you are running, that team? What would you say?
Right.
It's very similar, but it's just like you or I, like, I could help you with your resume, but if I sat down to do my own resume, whole different story, right?
Right.
So it's kind of where your skill set is, you're almost blind to it for yourself.
Right. That's like the psychology behind it, right?
Yeah.
It is much easier. Like you said, I can tell you all the accolades and the accomplishments and the things that you've done in your career and what I've seen you transform other people, right? And help them navigate. But to have to sit down and, you know, say that about yourself, sometimes that can be really challenging or not pulling out really the things that are most important.
And it's a really good tip, just as a side note, that there's some brain science behind that, that literally your brain shuts down when you try to look inward on things like that. But if you frame it in the, well, what would my friend tell me to do? Or I will ask my clients, well, what would your friend say? Would they agree with that? Would they think you were being nice to yourself?
Sure.
Probably not, right?
Right.
So there's some things along the way that you can do, but it's, if you don't know that, it just feels like this black hole that's painful, quite
right,
frankly.
Right, right. Well, like we say, it's like, you know, finding a new role is a full-time job, and you have a full-time job while you're searching for that, right?
And they tell you not to leave your job.
Don't
to
leave
look
your
for
job. Right.
And I am a proponent of that most of the time.
I am too. I agree.
Probably
for
like
most
85%
of the time.
Of the time, that is the right answer.
Right. Well, and I think you hit on something earlier, Sarah, that was really insightful, and I've seen it and you've seen it in candidates is when you're talking, right, with a candidate, you can tell their emotional state around things, right? And even though as much as we think, okay, I'm prepared for this interview and I'm prepared and I've networked and I've found, but when you're sitting there and you can see it, you might think you're hiding it, right? But if you're not really in a good place where you're running to something versus away from something that you really get excited about, it does. It does show up. And so I think that's why this whole emotional side of and working with somebody and having a support system to be able to really work through those things so that you are presenting who you are and getting excited about what that could be next, you know, in the whole journey. So kind of with that, what can you do for yourself, right? And maybe if you're a job seeker, what do you do that can best help propel yourself into that space?
I think, first of all, be kind to yourself and double the time you think it will take for a couple
That's
reasons,
great.
Because it will always take longer and you don't control so many things in this process.
Right.
So that's two things. And it takes some pressure off of you, right?
Sure.
Like people, I understand when people come and they're miserable, right? Like you were saying. But part of the first part of what I do with a lot of my clients is we need to get, like to your point, we need to get you in a better state at your job for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the interview,
sure.
right? And so that you show up to get that job. And then because of the new job, we don't want you to pull these same habits or tendencies or baggage with you or all the above.
Right.
So it is doing that work for yourself and writing things down, like reminding yourself of what you liked about this job.
Sure.
Right. Getting back in touch with those things. What brought you there in the first place? That can help oftentimes get a spark that you can at least focus on when you're in the middle of an interview so that you can lessen the noise of what's driving your unhappiness.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And those are really good tools that, again, it's kind of this emotional side of it that we just, you know, we prepare so much on the other, right? Right? It's the updating your LinkedIn.
That's the least important.
Right.
The resume, and I know I say that with a large grain of salt, but
sure.
It really is. If you don't show up right and you haven't figured those things out, it doesn't matter how good your resume is or how good your LinkedIn profile is or what, like, it won't work. Like,
right.
It is that simple.
Right, for sure. Flipping the tables a little bit, what do you think, if you're a family member, a friend, you know, someone who's in the process, how do you support them in the best way?
Ask them what they need.
Sure.
Right. Oftentimes, I've seen it for years now, asking questions, what did you do? Like, what'd you work on today? is actually really painful because I coach, especially my clients that maybe got laid off or fired that aren't currently working. It's actually even emotionally harder for them. Mm-hmm. And I coach them to take more time for themselves to, you know, fill up their tank, so to speak. Right?
Right.
And so asking your spouse or partner or friend, what'd you do today? Right? How many resumes did you send out? Who did you talk to? Is probably the worst thing you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hey, I've been thinking about you and I'm sure it's pretty hard. Right? Like acknowledging the challenge of it is, even if you haven't been through it yourself, I'm sure you have friends or family, you've seen other people go through it.
Absolutely.
Right? Ask them what they need. Give them words of encouragement. Acknowledge the challenge. What can I do for you? Those are the things, not the what do you do today kind of question that
sure.
may trigger them for all sorts of reasons. Mm-hmm. And it's stressful enough as is on both people within in a relationship, especially when you're talking about a partner. Those things will just then make it worse, right? And unintentionally, they have good intentions.
To help.
Just right. trying to help, right?
Well, I think of all those new college
mm-hmm.
grads.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and is it helpful if I continue to send them job openings? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, right? That you think it's yep. helpful, and it may be, but it probably the volume and the rate of frequency
exactly.
at which it's being done.
Right? And that's you could just say, hey, I just realized I've been sending you a lot of job postings. Do you want me to do that?
Right. Exactly.
Like
well, and I think the other thing that really that you hit on is that this process takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I've been on the other side of it where a week can go by really fast at an organization. And yet you don't want to lose a candidate.
It feels like 3 months
candidate. To mm-hmm. the candidate. So that weighs on the emotional mm-hmm. side of things of mm-hmm. it's maybe only been a couple of days or a week and I haven't heard. And so, you know, encouragement around the process in and of itself can. Mm-hmm. Each organization is a little different, but can take that time to get that actually accomplished, right? So the emotional side is really not to be underestimated
It's one of the biggest aspects of the process, quite frankly, mm-hmm. and it's probably the one that is most overlooked.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that's just really helpful to understand that piece of it. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to be kind to yourself and patient with yourself, but also I think it's, you know, how do they also, a job seeker, rely on their networks?
Yeah.
Right. You know, that isn't a piece that we've talked about. But how do you look at your professional networks to help you in your search, too?
First of all, remember, you have a professional network. Most people do to some shape or form. Might not be huge, but
right.
you do. People you used to work with. Right. An old boss. Your family members, workplaces. Right. Like mm-hmm. those are all options and opportunities. And what I find is a lot of my clients are very reluctant to do that for either they're embarrassed
sure.
to say they're looking for a job or don't like to ask for help, you know, for a multitude of reasons. And what I remind them of is if that person came to you, would you help them? And they
sure.
always say yes.
Of course.
Right? But again, they can't get out of their own pain, right, and apprehension and fear or lack of knowledge to move forward. But your network is one of your best strategies. And it can't just, as I'll say it again, it can't just be about the job boards, right?
Right.
You can apply through a job, but I want you to do another strategy on top of that, like try to find somebody who works in the organization that
right.
can go say, hey, Kara, I know this person, or my best friend knows, I don't care, right? Just having two humans talk to
right.
Each other about you is much more than effective than just it going into an applicant tracking system that may or may not use AI.
Absolutely.
Right? All these things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think the other thing that you hit on was just the fact that, you know, it's harder to write your own resume and always highlight the things. You connect with somebody you used to work with. I mean, there's energy in that, mm-hmm. right? You know, and there's positivity and there's somebody there who's in your corner to really help boost, right?
And knows your work.
And knows,
like, knows it
work.
Better than sometimes your family does. Like,
absolutely.
Hey, you are really good at this. Your family doesn't know that, right?
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's just another really key piece, mm-hmm. I think, around that whole emotional side of things.
Absolutely.
Relying on those people, even if you think you don't have one. I think you hit on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go back
mm-hmm.
and really think about that. Everybody likes to go for coffee, maybe, right?
It can, yep.
You know, a quick meeting, a Zoom
a golf
call,
league,
something.
Right? Like, if you go to church, right?
Right.
You're, all of those people are potential folks that could help you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. What advice does Sarah have for us? You'll find out right after a short break. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Kara Olson, Chief People Officer for Ellen Becker Investment Group. My guest today is Sarah Reed, founder and CEO of Moonstone Coaching and Consulting, where she provides meaningful coaching and career navigation using real-world insight and practical advice. We've been talking a lot today, Sarah, about the trends and truths and tough moments of job searching. And so I'm curious on your insights on the job seekers in different generations and how kind of the phase before retirement is somewhat being redefined.
Sure, sure. But to the generation point, it is still the same for all of you. You just feel it differently.
That's true.
Right? So the things that a younger person might find really hard, an older person might say, well, that's easy, and vice versa, right? Like the tech, for example.
Right.
Versus an older person, like, oh, God, that scares the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to break it. I don't want to do it wrong. And then the younger person often, like, I got to talk to them. I can't just email them or text them. So, right, like, it's all the same.
Come from
thing.
Different places, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly, exactly. And I think the fears are there, but they're just different fears, mm-hmm. right? It's... You know, I think when you're younger, it's about the pressure of making the right decision, right? And I do see that sometimes with my older clients, but they've just been around longer, so they've been part of their own decisions that have gone good and bad.
Sure.
And they're like, I'm still standing, right? I made it through that.
I got through it, right?
And quite frankly, making the transition from school to work is ridiculously challenging, and no one talks about it, mm-hmm. right? That you are going from something that is so structured, even in college, quite frankly, although you have freedom, your teacher, you know, or professor, I should say, right, gives you this and you do that, and then they give you this and you do that, right? Your whole upbringing from an education standpoint is based off of that. Right. And then you get to the job search process in the work world, and you're like, I don't know, what's initiative? What do they mean? Right? Like simple things
so
like
true.
That, right? And then managers and people get mad at them. Well, we never taught them, mm-hmm. right? That's on us.
Sure.
Right? That's on us for not helping them understand what I mean by this and explaining, not telling.
Right.
Right. And really clarifying, did you understand that? Or would you like me to explain that? Right? If they're sure. afraid to ask. So those things, I think it's very similar, right? It's just putting yourselves out there, the vulnerability. It doesn't matter your age. It is a vulnerable process that exposes you and triggers you and is a roller coaster for everybody.
Sure.
You don't know when it ends, right?
Yep.
You have no idea.
No, you don't.
Nope. All you can control, I like to remind people of this, is the action you take, mm-hmm. right? So you can control how many times in a week you reach out to someone. Mm-hmm. Whether you're young or old, right?
Right.
You can control how much research you do, the lists you make of companies you might be interested in. You can't control who says yes or no to you, mm-hmm. right? You can't control how fast they get back to you, right? So many things are out of your control. And for those of us control freaks, that's really hard.
It is hard.
Or perfectionists, also right? a very hard process. Or analytical, very structured, A, B, C, D, linear people.
Right.
Also very challenging. So mm-hmm. it is really... kind of staying on your own 2 feet and just plugging away, right?
Sure.
And keeping in mind, don't just do one thing. Do a number of things. Pick the ones you're comfortable with and keep at that, right? Eventually,
right.
you will get to the bottom of the hill and you will find a job. I can't tell you when.
Right.
Or what it will be, but it will happen.
Yeah. You've used that analogy a couple times today as we've talked, right, about just this layering piece that, mm-hmm. that really comes in. What about those that are, you know, maybe they are older and it's like, okay, I found myself and I've maybe earned a certain amount now. And now, you know, I'm not ready to retire yet, yeah. but what's this kind of new phase before? And are there some things I need to think about?
Yeah. You know, it used to be that retirement was like a cliff, right?
Right.
You worked and then you were done. Mm-hmm. And that's changed a lot. And which I think is really cool. In that you can define it differently, right? Mm-hmm. Like I know a number of examples in regular corporate jobs where they are offboarding, so to speak, right? You talk about onboarding in HR, they're offboarding, right? Like they go down to part-time, they become a consultant in that same organization.
Right. Absolutely.
Because they still like what they do. They just want time for their grandkids, right? Or they want to travel more. So that's one way to look at it. Another way is, hey, I always wanted to do this and I never did. Right. I always wanted to work in a flower shop. Right.
Sure.
Or I always wanted to help out the Humane Society. Right. Like things like that of the always wanna sort of
right.
stuff.
Absolutely.
Right? Is another option. Now, the reality is you have to be at a point in your career financially also and be comfortable with that, because I can't tell you how many clients I meet that I'm like, well, when are you planning on retiring? Right.
Right.
And, well, I don't know. I'm a little nervous. I said, well, what has your advisor said to you? Like, literally.
Exactly.
Like, well, they say I'm fine. You could believe them.
Right.
Right. So that you could quit this job you don't like that does make more money, but do something you enjoy.
Right.
And then the funny thing is you may end up doing that longer because you like it.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that opportunity to maybe something that is even more your passion that you just didn't take the leap to go try, that you, if you can have that opportunity to do that, it's thinking about it in those terms from a retirement standpoint. Mm-hmm. What about, you know, you get, as job seekers get to that interview or they're in, you know, those phases, what questions should they be asking today?
Two things. Mm-hmm. It was something I learned when I was back in staffing way back when at Hatch. And I read some article that you were 50% more likely to get the job if you asked the interviewer something more personal about themselves.
Sure.
I don't know if it's true. It doesn't matter. It's easy to do. And what if it is?
Right. Right.
Why not? And you have to keep in mind when you're in an interview, especially the HR phase, right? Those recruiters spend all day asking people questions. No one ever asks them anything about themselves,
sure.
right? And I don't mean like, hey, do you have kids?
Right.
Not what I'm talking about.
Good. I'm glad you
right?
said that.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
Kids. You want to keep it career focused,
sure.
right? So an example might be, what do you really love about working here? Or how did you get started in this line of work, right? Things that are germane to them as a human, not just about the organization or that job that they're applying for. That's one
yeah.
tip.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is to make sure you are thinking about what you want, right? Mm-hmm. It still holds true. It was a big thing, you know, probably in the 90s and 2000s. Again, that makes me feel old. but you are interviewing them and they are interviewing you. I don't care what job market it is like.
Absolutely.
You still want to end up in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or make sure if you're in a weird transition state, it is good enough and you are aware of the good and the bad.
Right.
Right. And that happens sometimes. You might have to settle for a moment. Mm-hmm. And it turns out to be that transition job. Your next job does not have to be your forever job.
Sure.
Depending on your circumstances and what's going on related to money or family or what have you.
So. Right, right. Yeah, that's good. It's interesting because I think about that when I'm asked or you're asked by candidates something around, you know, more personal or why you join an organization or what do you love best. There is this difference when you start to mm-hmm. Connect that way and you notice it, right? You notice those kinds of questions for sure. What piece of advice or words of encouragement might you give someone who's in the process of searching right now?
I think I've probably said them, but it's always important to hear it again because I think people take it for granted. Taking care of you and giving yourself grace
yeah.
is really big. And that other piece, do your best to figure out what you want, right? Mm-hmm. It can be as simple as writing down a list of all the things you've liked at previous jobs, right? And think about it from an element standpoint, not a job standpoint. You want
right.
to break it down. Mm-hmm. And then you want to think about your personal life and look at that. And you want to break that down so that you are matching those things to a job description, not you, the human. Oh, I can do that.
Sure.
Right? Like, so those pieces I think are really, really crucial.
Right.
And can be really helpful to hopefully help you land the right kind of job.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. that pause. It's that pause mm-hmm. and reflection that is invaluable, mm-hmm. I think, as you
yeah.
start the whole process.
But,
great piece of advice. Mm-hmm. How can our listeners connect with you or learn more about your work?
Sure, sure. My website is at moonstonecoachingandconsulting.com. I know, very long. Rookie entrepreneur mistake. It's all spelled out. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. And you can go to my personal profile, Sarah Reed, and I'd love to connect with you. And that those probably are the two best ways. I am on Facebook, if that's your thing. And it's Sarah Reed Reed Coach. I think if you type in Moonstone Coaching and Consulting, it'll pop up. But those are probably the best ways to reach out to me.
That's great. Well, I think you've just given us some really good tips and insights, as well as just, you know, you work with a whole number of variety of individuals to help them really navigate the career, which is what we're all about right now. So thank you so much, Sarah, for being my guest today. We truly appreciate your insights and guidance for job seekers. And you've, like I said, you've shared a lot of practical and great takeaways for our listeners that have been incredibly helpful. So thank you so very much for joining me.
It's been a pleasure, Kara. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com or call us at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope I have made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.